Hello, everybody. We are in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 51. We are still working in the sign Aries, in which chapter many of the procedures to be followed in other chapters studying other signs are set forth. Therefore, this is a longer chapter than usual. We've been reviewing some of those procedures. And DK tells us that in every chapter there will be found the following: the keynote of the signs. They express the underlying effect upon the man as he progresses in one of two directions. Basically, these can be considered, in a way, the mantrams, although sometimes he calls these mantrams keywords. For instance, let form again be sought. That's the mantram for the path of evolution for Aries. And then there is, I come forth and from the plane of mind I rule. That is a keynote, a mantram for the disciple. We also will learn about the nature of the cross upon which the man is crucified at any one time. Aries is on the cardinal cross, but the man may be on any of the three crosses in terms of his consciousness. The influence of the planetary rulers, orthodox and esoteric. So for Aries, it's Mars and Mercury. Mars, orthodox, and Mercury, esoteric. And, excuse me, we've learned about the battle and strife of Mars and the illuminative potential of Mercury. I'm going to skip number four and come back to it because it is the most vexing of statements, and you know, there's probably a huge hint involved here. I'll come back to that. Number five, the qualities of the signs and of the man who has come forth in a particular sign. In a particular sign means the sun sign, but under a particular sign means the rising sign. Qualities can be similar in actual practice. So we learn we learned of the Aries individual that there was the tendency to seek unity through effort, to enter into battle for the Lord, to engage in a strong creative process, and so forth. We will learn of the interplay between a sign and its polar opposite. This is found on 337 and 338 of Esoteric Astrology in the chapter on Cancer. We learn which planets are exalted in detriment or which fall in any particular sign. And DK tells us, for a study of these will indicate the three phases of the path, with its involutionary cycle, presumably related to the fall, becoming increasingly involved in matter, or life upon the mutable cross, then the interlude of readjustment or of struggle for liberation. This is probably related to the detriment, which leads to the mounting of the fixed cross and the period of liberation with the final mounting of the cardinal cross. And this suggests meanings of the exaltation of a planet in a particular sign. Exaltation. Of course, there are other and more personal meanings for the fall, detriment, and exaltation, but DK is looking at this from a somewhat, I would say, a philosophical point of view. All right. Let's go on to number eight. What else will we learn here? The significance of the key words for the mode of progress through the signs. Now, these key words were, you know, for Aries, creativity, strife. Let's find the remaining the key words for Aries, Esoteric Astrology, and we'll go to creativity, strife. Well, what about strife alone? That ought to do it, perhaps. Let's see what we have. There are five strifes. Okay, yes, creation, being, activity, strife, and synthesis. And the key notes, he calls them keynotes. I think he exchanges the idea of keynotes and keywords. He tells us, express the will to be and do, unfold the power to manifest under the first and seventh ray, pretty much. Enter into battle for the Lord under Mars and the first ray. Arrive at unity through effort. The effort is provided by the sixth ray, the unity through struggle by the fourth ray, and so forth. And he sums this up as keynotes, creation, being, activity. Aries are often hyperactive people. Strife, they are not afraid of conflict, although is it intelligent? That's the question. And finally, synthesis, because it is a major sign which sees the homogeneous being within all forms. And that's a high form of perception, which is given later to the Rishan person under the influence of Uranus. Okay, let's see what else we have here. And then the underlying theme of any specific zodiacal sign covered by... Whoops, my screen is disappearing. Seems to be time, perhaps, to start the computer all over again. The underlying theme of any zodiacal sign covered by what? covered by something. Let's see. it's a little bit disturbing. I'll have to see what I can do when, finally, this stops acting up. Sorry for this. Just a little technical delay. Yes, a little delay. Covered by... Yes, we ought to be there, just about there now. Covered by what? The idea of recreation, regeneration, reorientation, and renunciation. Okay, now let's go back to number four, on which I've probably pondered for 30 years, and I've had other people ponder on it as well. It says the rays which primarily express themselves through a particular sign. Okay, we've identified the sign. In this case, let's say it's Aries and ray 1 at 7. And then, the clue to which sign it is, well, the question is, why is there needed a clue? Because the sign is already given. The clue to which sign it is may be found in the orthodox planetary ruler where the personality ray is concerned and the esoteric planetary ruler where the soul is concerned. Now, some people have used this to say, well, if you're born in Aries, chances are your personality ray will be either the sixth or the fourth. Sixth through Mars, and the fourth, maybe for disciples, the esoteric ruler of Mercury, conveying the fourth ray. But I think this is a superficial reading of this particular hint or conundrum, and moreover, many of the people in Master DK's groups contradict this very thing. I mean, you know, you have, for instance, a person who is a Capricorn sun, and he has a sixth-ray personality. Well, the ruler of Capricorn, both in the personality sense and in the esoteric sense, is ray 3. Where's ray 6? Ray 6 is not found, even with Venus. There's a slight ray 6 in Venus on a very high level. But that's the hierarchical ruler, and we can't talk about personality rays in relation to the hierarchical ruler. And let's say people born in Gemini, well, they should have either fourth-ray personalities under the orthodox ruler Mercury, or fifth-ray personalities under the esoteric ruler Venus, but no, they can have first and second and sixth and even seventh-ray personalities, and such were people in Master DK's group. Alice Bailey herself had a first-ray personality, and she was solidly Gemini. Where'd that first ray come from? From the hierarchical ruler, with Earth being having a first-ray monad? It's stretching it a little bit far. But maybe there are other ways to interpret this. We may be looking for related signs. Now, let's suppose that the person that we're looking for signs that are related to the sign Aries. Let's say we have Aries, and let's just say that through Aries comes the sixth ray. The orthodox planetary ruler where the personality ray is concerned. Well, you can be an Aries and have a personality ray on any of the rays. So maybe we should look for a first-ray personality to an exoteric ruler which conveys the first ray. Now, where would we find that? I think we would have to go to Scorpio, where Pluto has a first ray, and it is considered one of the rulers of Scorpio. Let's just say the personality ray is the second ray. The second ray. The usual ruler is Jupiter, but what sign has an exoteric ruler which conveys the second ray? Well, Leo does, because the Sun is the ruler, second ray. Sagittarius does, because Jupiter is the ruler, second ray. Pisces does, because the ruler is Jupiter again, second ray. And that's it, as far as I can see. So perhaps we would be bringing in influence from these other three signs for the second ray personality who is born in Aries. And we would probably find some way to blend the sixth ray Mars, which is the exoteric ruler, orthodox ruler of Aries. Now, suppose there's the third ray. What would we do? Third-ray personality of somebody born in Aries. Well, the only third-ray planet we can find is Capricorn, is Saturn in Capricorn, because Earth is not an esoteric ruler, and there is no other... Well, Earth is an esoteric ruler, it's not an orthodox ruler. And there is no other third-ray planet of the conventional types of planets. So we'd bring Capricorn into relation here. The clue to which sign it may be... See, we've already named the sign and are looking for a clue to another sign. So, you know, unless this is really a typo, and, you know, if it's a typo, DK said he did proofread this book. And so if it's a typo, which has caused perplexity, or will have caused perplexity for 80, 90, 100 years, maybe probably 90 years before the new third volume of Esoteric Astrology comes out. Let's suppose you're a fourth-ray personality, and you're born in Aries. Well, we can bring in and associate the sign Cancer, because the Moon is the orthodox ruler of Cancer. We can bring in Gemini, and we can bring in Virgo, because Mercury conveys the fourth ray. If you're a fifth ray personality, and you're born in Aries, we're going to bring in Libra and Taurus, because they both have Venus rulerships of an orthodox kind. If you're a sixth ray personality, we're going to bring in Scorpio. And Aries, of course, is ruled by Mars, which is the sixth ray. Scorpio naturally has a connection. See, this is a way of showing relationships of different signs to a particular sign via the personality ray. So suppose, and Neptune does not have any orthodox rulership, unless we want to say that Pisces is somehow orthodoxly ruled by Neptune. But DK says no, Alan Leo says yes. We could bring in Pisces, I suppose. We would certainly bring in Scorpio. Now, suppose we have the seventh ray. We're going to be looking for the seventh ray planet. That's Uranus, and we'd bring in Aquarius. And that's all we could do at the present time, even though Jupiter does have a strong seventh ray connected with it. But it's not not one of the rays that has been described, except it has been hinted at. Okay, so if you have a personality ray on any one of those rays, and you're born in the sign Aries, you can bring the particular signs that I discussed into relation with your sun sign, Aries, let us say, and with your planetary ruler. The planetary ruler of Aries being Mars in the orthodox sense. Now, I'm not saying that this completely solves this difficult sentence. It really does not. But let's go through the soul rays and show the contrast. If you are a first ray soul, we're going to look for a first ray planet in an esoteric position, and we're going to find Taurus, where Vulcan rules esoterically, and we're going to find even Virgo, where Vulcan is veiled esoterically by the Moon, and we're going to find Pluto, we're going to find Scorpio, where Pluto is also associated in an esoteric sense, we may infer. We're going to also find Pisces, where Pluto is the definite esoteric ruler. So first-rate personality. Okay, we may be experiencing degraded audio. Hopefully not. Okay. We're going to bring in those other signs when you have a first-ray soul. Did I say personality? I'm sorry, not personality, soul. If you have a first-ray soul, we're going to bring in those other signs in relation to Aries, and so we could go through all the different signs. Okay, if you're a second-ray soul, we're going to look for the place where a second-ray planet is the esoteric ruler, and we're going to find Leo. Leo veiling Neptune, the Sun veiling Neptune in the esoteric position. We're also going to find Aquarius, where Jupiter, the second-ray planet, is in the esoteric position. So we're going to bring Aquarius and Leo into relationship with Aries for the second-ray soul who's born in Aries. Now, exactly what this would mean would have to be worked out in the individual sense. Suppose you're a third-ray soul. We're going to look for third-ray planets. The esoteric planetary ruler for Aries is Mercury, so Mercury will naturally be related to whatever signs and planets we bring into consideration. Excuse me. So, for the third ray, we're going to bring in Capricorn naturally because Saturn is the esoteric ruler. We're going to bring in Sagittarius because the Earth, third ray Earth, is the esoteric ruler of Sagittarius. And that's all we can do at the moment. If it's the fourth ray, you're a fourth ray soul. There's not many of them around at the moment. But we would bring in Aries, which of course is in its own position. And we would bring in, that does seem to be maybe the only sign. Well, we could bring in the moon. We could bring in the moon as the esoteric ruler of Virgo. And I cannot think of anything else because Mercury is the esoteric ruler of Aries and the moon, fourth ray moon, is the esoteric ruler of Virgo. Although the moon, it's hard to stretch it into an esoteric planet. Yet it is, but really what it veils, both Vulcan, fourth ray Vulcan in a way, fourth ray monad, and Neptune are really the power there in the esoteric position of Virgo. Suppose you're a fifth ray soul. Well, we're going to look for a place where a fifth ray planet, of which we only know Venus at the moment, is in the esoteric position. So we're going to look for Gemini, and we will bring in Gemini in relation to Aries. So Venus and Mercury will be related. Mercury as the esoteric ruler of Aries, and Venus as the soul ray ruler, which is ruling the sign Gemini esoterically. Suppose you're a sixth ray soul. There are many of them at the moment. We're going to look for Mars and Neptune. We're going to find Mars in the esoteric position in Scorpio, and that's the only place we find it, in an esoteric position. And we're going to look at Neptune in the esoteric position in Cancer. So Scorpio and Cancer would be brought in, and maybe Pisces, because it is a special type of ruler. Neptune is a special type of ruler in Pisces. When we're going to look for the seventh-ray souls, it's going to be Uranus we look for. It's the only seventh-ray planet we're given, at least, although there are probably quite a few other seventh-ray planets in the 115-some planets we have in our solar system. We're going to look for Libra because Uranus is the esoteric ruler of Libra, and we're going to bring Libra into relation with Scorpio and Uranus into relation with Mercury, the esoteric ruler of Aries. The rays which primarily express themselves through a particular sign. Okay, there are two ways of expressing. One is constellational, you know, ray 1 and 7 for Aries, ray 4 for Taurus, ray 2 for Gemini, ray 3 and 7 for Cancer, ray 1 and 5 for Leo, rays 2 and 6 for Virgo, ray 3 for Libra, ray 4 for Scorpio, rays 5, 6, 7 for Sagittarius, no, excuse me, 4, 5, 6 for Sagittarius, and rays 1, 3, and 7 for Capricorn. And Aquarius, ray 5, and Pisces, rays 2 and 6. Okay, those are the constellational expressions of the rays before we ever get to any planets. But then you look at the rulers, and for Aries, rays 6 and 4 are expressing through Mars and Mercury. When you look at Taurus, ray 5 and 1 are expressing through Venus and Vulcan. You know, I'm giving you these rays and planets in their orthodox and then esoteric order. When it comes to Gemini, ray 4 and 5 are expressing through Mercury and Venus. When it comes to Cancer, ray 4 and 6 are expressing through the Moon and Neptune. When it comes to Leo, ray 2 is expressing in both positions, but maybe the Sun is veiling Jupiter in the orthodox position, ray 2, and the Sun is veiling Neptune in the esoteric position, ray 6. When it comes to Virgo, we have ray 4 and ray 4 expressing respectively through Mercury and the Moon, but the Moon veils both Vulcan and Neptune, so ray 1 and 6 are veiled by the fourth ray Moon. See, these are all rays that in a way can be said to be expressing through a particular sign, either directly or via its planetary rulers. When it comes to Libra, we have ray 5 and ray 7 expressing respectively through Venus and Uranus. When it comes to Scorpio, we have ray 6 and ray 6 through Mars and Mars, or ray 1 and ray 1 through Pluto and Pluto. When it comes to Sagittarius, we have ray 2 and ray 3 expressing through Jupiter and the Earth, respectively. When it comes to Capricorn, we have ray 3 and ray 3 expressing through Saturn, which is both the orthodox and esoteric ruler. When it comes to Aquarius, we have ray 7 and ray 2 expressing respectively through Uranus and Jupiter. When it comes to Pisces, we have ray 2 and ray 1 expressing through Jupiter and Pluto, but remember that pervasive influence of Neptune. All these things should be memorized, obviously. You know, I've been studying this stuff for a long time. Maybe astrology for 45, 46 years. Yeah, something like that. So obviously, you know, the memorization, when you use it that way, the memorization comes along. But, you know, although it may seem a little tedious at first, memorize these things. Memorize the orthodox positions, and of course the new positions should be memorized as well, and then you'll be able to use them with greater facility. So we're dealing with the rays which primarily express themselves through a particular sign. The clue to which sign it may be is found in the orthodox planetary ruler where the personality ray is concerned, and the esoteric planetary ruler where the soul is concerned. Now, another way of looking at this is we may be looking at the soul ray ruler, planetary ruler. Yeah. So, you know, I think I've given this basically. You know, let's say I'm a fourth ray personality. Some days I think I am. Some days I think I'm not. Okay. Fourth ray personality. So, I will look for that fourth ray, which sign may be involved. Well, that fourth ray will take me in my personality to Cancer, probably. It certainly could easily take me to Virgo or to Gemini. Gemini, Virgo, Cancer. Gemini, Virgo ruled by fourth ray Mercury, and the Moon ruled by the fourth ray, Cancer ruled by the fourth ray Moon. Now, is it a particular sign which is most important in relating to that particular fourth ray personality for me? Is it a particular sign of those three which have fourth ray orthodox rulers? Well, I would have to ponder on this and see, or are all three involved? Now, since I have Cancer rising anyway, Cancer is an important sign, and since I believe I'm a second-ray soul, then Gemini and Virgo, two second-ray signs, are important anyway. Now, let's say I'm a second-ray soul, and I'm born in Aries, okay? I'm going to, let's say, look at Leo for an esoteric ruler. I'm going to look at Aquarius. Leo and Aquarius are going to be two important signs for me. And it just so happens that in my conception chart and animation chart, these are inner charts, one or the other is the rising sign for me. And then in some way I'm going to attempt to relate Mercury, which is the esoteric ruler, to that particular soul position. There are so many ways we can combine these energies. You know, when you're looking at your soul condition, you look at your soul ray, you look at your rising sign, you look at the esoteric ruler of your rising sign. In my case, let's just say it's soul ray 2, Cancer rising, esoteric ruler is Neptune. Those energies should be put together. But it is possible that some other signs are expressing through the second ray in some way, expressing through the second ray soul. And we could look at the sun veiling Neptune in Leo, because the sun is second ray, but Neptune is sixth ray, but it is the veiled esoteric ruler. And we can look at Jupiter conveying the second ray esoterically Aquarius. So maybe as sub-themes, these particular astrological signs of the zodiac are accompanying or qualifying or in some way influencing the expression of the second ray soul in this particular incarnation. But all of this will require that we ponder on it. You know, there's no way that we can penetrate with absoluteness such a sentence as this. Various theories can be offered. Earlier, in a number of webinars ago, I talked about taking your soul ray ruler, which is the sacred planet which conveys your soul ray, and looking at the sign from which that soul ray ruler rules. In my case, it would be Aquarius. Well, Aquarius is strong in my chart anyway, but perhaps there's a particular Aquarian theme coming in via the second ray soul, because the soul ray ruler is related to a particular sign, in this case Aquarius. we have such a great many energies to deal with, and you know, we can fill the mind with all possible correlations and links and so forth, but the question is it detectable in life, and is it working out in some way that is noticeable in life? This is a very important issue, and only we can only ponder on it. One thing we do know is that it is far too simple to say that if you are born in a particular sign, the exoteric planetary ruler of that sign and its ray tell you about your personality ray. It may be the case, it may not be the case. And if you are, you know, if you are, let's say, a disciple, and you were born in a particular time, sign, that the esoteric planetary ruler and its ray will tell you about your personality ray. Again, I say personality ray. I don't say soul ray. Because when I look at the horoscope, there are only tentative speculations about how to determine the soul ray from a horoscope. I think most of what I've seen is not convincing. You know, it's like an astrologer I knew who said, okay, if you're a Scorpio rising person, you're a disciple, you definitely have a fourth ray soul. No, that's, you know, that's absurd. It cannot be the case. There are so few fourth ray souls in incarnation, and so many Scorpio rising people at the moment, it just wouldn't be possible. It's the same as saying if you've got Aries rising, you've got a first ray soul, or maybe a seventh ray soul. What about all those other soul rays who are born with Aries rising? It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, ponder on this. It is the master who often seeks to produce perplexity in his student, and we are all students of Master DK. And then, you know, one day maybe the obvious will dawn, and we've been looking at this sentence for many, many years, and then suddenly the obvious will dawn. Well, all of you can have your crack at trying to decipher this. Let's just say, you know, that one of the probably convincing possibilities is to look with respect to your soul ray to the sign which the soul ray ruler rules esoterically. As I said before, Jupiter is related to the second ray soul. It's the esoteric planet of the second ray. And look to Aquarius, where it is the ruler, and just see how that may be coming in through your soul. Because after all, through a planet, many signs, lords of constellations, do channel their energy. through Jupiter, certainly the Lord of Sagittarius and Lord of Pisces is channeling the energy. And maybe you will be most sensitive to that type of energy when Jupiter is prominent in your chart or being accented in some particular way, or, you know, when it moves into a particular angle or aspect or something of that nature. And you'll feel, oh, the Sagittarian energy is coming through my Jupiter, this Pisces energy is coming through. But maybe, as a disciple, who is responding more to the soul, you will feel Aquarian energy coming through your Jupiter. And maybe as an initiate, you will feel more Virgo energy, since Jupiter is the hierarchical ruler of Virgo. Maybe you'll feel more Virgo energy coming in, and it will be more monadic and have more to do with the fulfillment of the Christ energy or something of that nature. So intricate is this study. It is intricate and subtle. And as DK promised us, I'm telling you about the ABCs, he said, okay? And certainly when we begin to dig into some of the issues here, we realize, yes, the ABCs are what are being revealed to us at the moment, but it's the seed of the new astrology, and we are required to think about it. We're asked to think about it and to ponder with the illumined mind on these things. Now, okay, DK is perhaps getting ready to move on towards Pisces. We will see here. He says, before taking up these matters in connection with Pisces, there are one or two points on which I would like to touch. I have to take up certain problems, as they may arise in the consciousness of the inquirers and the students, because it is impossible to handle them all at once in the introductory remarks. He's a wise teacher, Master DK. Wiser than I am, that's for sure, because he says the confusion would then be well nigh insuperable in the mind of the inquirer, and hopefully in this in these sort of webinar presentations, I have not created insuperable confusion in the mind of the listeners. I hope not. What I'm trying to do is kind of download the many relations I've thought about in relation to astrology over many years. And, of course, I don't really know what I'm going to say next. I don't know what will come to mind, perhaps many old thoughts, perhaps some new connections, perhaps even an intuition here or there. Could happen. Hopefully the confusion is not insuperable. Little by little we will deal with the various debatable points, and if you will have patience and hold back partisan conclusions, because after all, there are many convinced orthodox astrologers who just know astrology is thus and so, and it would disrupt their worldview to consider it any other way. So he's asking patience and testing of his proposals in a fifth-ray scientific manner. If you will have patience and hold back partisan conclusions, the picture of the new astrology will begin to emerge more clearly in your mind. I must say it's been true for me. When I first began to read esoteric astrology, it was a wide gulf between the reading of that book and the astrology that I thought I knew. Although fortunately not too many years had elapsed between my studying astrology, seriously, I suppose, since 1965, and running into esoteric astrology as a book in the late 60s, beginning to study it seriously in the early 70s and so forth. So not too many years had elapsed, and still there was a lot of debris in my mind, a lot of formulations which were fairly concrete and in which I believed fairly strongly, and which had to be destroyed or dissolved or somehow reinterpreted. So the picture of the new astrology will begin to emerge more clearly in your minds. At present, the readjustment of your ideas will lead to inevitable temporary bewilderment, lost in the forest. Many of you who have the temerity to download these webinars have studied esoteric astrology from Tibetan for a fairly long time, and so perhaps your bewilderment will be less. And perhaps as we go through this treatise in what I hope is a very careful, word-for-word, paragraph-by-paragraph manner, finding our associations. New thoughts about it will dawn, new insights will dawn, and we will be doing our part to prepare for the new dispensation of esoteric astrology in 2025 and following. If I can just speak to that for just a moment, the year is 2025, and how many... Yes, here it is. I can, however, page 589, I can, however, attempt to give you certain concepts, relationships, and parallels which may serve to close this section on astrology and lay the foundation for future teaching around the year 2025. That is the mode whereby all revelation comes. A thought is given, a symbol described, an idea portrayed. Then as the minds of men ponder upon it and the intuitives of the world pick up the thought, it serves as a needed seed thought which eventually comes to fruition with the presentation and unfolding of revelation, which serves to lead the race of men near their goal. Future teaching around 2025. Now, I'm also going to try here, 2025. Astrology. Oh, there's only one. That's the only one. Yet. Let's see about that one. Next four decades until 2025. Okay. Yeah, that's the one. To lay a foundation for future teaching around the year 2025. And this, you know, presumably is teaching on astrology, because why be dealing with astrology to lay a foundation? So I believe that astrology will be one of the first things to come forth in Master DK's new dispensation. You know, what can we do about that? I mean, you know, some of us will be around, some may not. We can prepare. How do we prepare? We prepare through assimilation. We've been given so much. It's extraordinary. You know, the farther you go, the more you realize how much you've been given. It's staggering. And our assimilative abilities are relatively small. But what do? We exercise them and bring them into our consciousness and attempt to apply them. Apply them. Apply what we assimilate and reinterpret the world in terms of the new astrological and race science, which we make our own, part of our own mind and consciousness, and do this assiduously until the year 2025, and maybe beyond, because even if things start in 2025, it'll be a while before those books or presentations, in whatever form they are, make their way into the world. You know, the teaching is to go forth over the radio. Well, okay, I consider these webinars to be radio. You know, radio is a symbol for mass communications. But what I'm trying to do is promote assimilation, to promote intelligent speculation. I'm not pretending that what I'm giving is the new astrology. I'm just, Master DK gave us something, and I'm trying to understand it and work with you so that you can understand it more deeply as well. And I'm ready to be surprised by what he himself will bring forth in the year 2025, around the year 2025, and I'm sure it will be additional to what has been given thus far. There are some few unpublished writings which are now out there, and they have to do with the point opposite the sun sign as the monadic point, and they have to do with some meditations which he gave but didn't fully give, and so forth. But that's not what I expect the new astrology to be. That's part of it. That's part of it, and only a little part of it. Our task is not to project about what he will say when he says it. Our task is to assimilate, absorb, apply, integrate what already has been given. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? A lot of work. And we have to buy our experience. We choose how we spend our time. I feel a great urgency in trying to talk some of these books. By that I mean just share my understanding of them in a fairly spontaneous manner. I've spent many years writing books with exact thought, as much exactitude of thought as I could manage. But it's a slow process, and time being what it is or isn't, I feel it's best to try to reach you with what spontaneously comes to mind. There are other books that I would like to talk through as well. There are sections in the Rays and Initiations which I would like to speak about, sections from the old commentary I'd like to write about, or rather, talk about. Mercury on the Midheaven, that's how it is in Aries. And I've done a lot in Cosmic Fire so far, but that's more in exactitude of thought. Maybe there's another 100 pages which need that exactitude of thought treatment, the written treatment. Let's see if we can get through astrology. Probably be, some 350 of these one-hour programs who will have the endurance to live through that, especially with a talkative teacher, I don't know. But, all right, we'll see. One of the questions which normally arises might be expressed as follows, and was so expressed by an interested astrological student, probably one of the people in the Arcane School, something like that. He was closely related to Dane Rudyard, a very, wonderful astrologer and friend of Alice Bailey, and a true world disciple, and therefore an initiate of the third degree, as far as I can see. It involved the following inquiry. Granted the inevitability of a man eventually reversing the mode of his passage through the 12 signs, at what time and in what sign does the sun reverse? Whoop, well, the sun doesn't reverse, does it? So this is going to betray some sort of misunderstanding. The sun does not reverse at all. The sun can be found in any sign. It's just how you respond to it, isn't it? At what point in the swing of the zodiac can this reversal in the sun itself be seen taking place? So, it's a very literal type of question, isn't it? And it's non-astronomical. Very literal and non-astronomical, isn't it? Well, DK says, unless you have some grasp of the nature of the great illusion of the constitution of the sun, because the sun is so much more than it appears to be, and we hardly know in a way even what it is externally, there are types of states of matter in the sun which we have not yet recognized, it will be hard for you to understand the significance of my reply. The sun to which you are referring is the physical sun and its apparent path in the heavens. What is the apparent path? The apparent path is the zodiac. It's the zodiac. And there is, and we know it's an illusory path because it's the earth that's revolving around the sun. And it's just a seeming that occurs. This appearance will not outwardly change. The appearance of the sun against certain constellations and against different sections of the Earth's orbit will not outwardly change. Here is the statement of importance. The real sun under which our planetary life will eventually function and to which response will be made is the heart of the sun. The heart of the sun. Okay, this is the second level of the sun. The second level rulership of Leo tells us something about it because it is the sun veiling Neptune, and Neptune is associated with the heart of the sun and is the repository of the solar flames. Neptune is a great second-ray monadic planet. The heart of the sun is analogous to our own soul nature on the higher mental plane, and the true heart of the sun, which most of the definitions and references point to, is the soul nature of the solar logos found on the higher mental plane, his own egoic lotus and his own consciousness, that consciousness of the divine sun of love in our solar system with its second ray soul. So the heart of the sun is what we have to learn to respond to, and just the way we have to learn how to respond to the soul. The physical sun has a very important effect upon the etheric physical vehicle and upon the entire solar system, which is cosmically etheric and physical. But it is not the major focus of the occultist's response or cultivated response. When that is controlling the heart of the sun, the spiritual man will then live a dual life simultaneously, which is ever the problem of the man who is illumined by the soul as well as by the light of day. The Scorpio type of light is called the light of day, but in this particular... excuse me. Talking too fast. Okay. In this particular case, the light of day seems to be a more external type of light. It doesn't mean the light of the Buddhic plane, as it should mean in relation to Scorpio, when all illusion is overcome and the hydra is lifted high into the Buddhic light of day. On the other hand, the Scorpio person has to take all problems and work them out right here on the systemic physical plane, which in another way can be considered the light of day. So we have to learn how to be in this world and yet not of it, to live the dual life of discipleship, to live simultaneously through the lower and higher pairs of opposites, to live the personality life and the soul life. It's a Geminian problem. It's also a problem undertaken in Virgo, where there is a fusion of these two types of man, the higher ego is man and the personality is man. Okay, so when the heart of the sun is controlling, the spiritual man will then live a dual life simultaneously. The true spiritual man is the monad in extension, the monad in any state of immersion. So, you know, most people are living quite a unitary, single life within their personality, which they consider to be kind of an unalterable unit, and they don't have the experience of communicating with that inner and higher self. So we, on the other hand, as disciples, have to be illumined by that which the soul knows, by that which we are as a soul, and also by that which we are as a personality in the light of day on the outer planes in our objective life. And this dual life, says the Tibetan, will consist of our apparent experience and situations. Notice he hints at the illusion here. DK hints at the illusory nature of our experience within the lower three worlds, and our inner spiritual soul awareness, which we are all attempting to cultivate, especially through meditation, through deep study, and through the sense of the presence of the soul, which occurs when service is truly given in the spontaneous spiritual sense. The personality will still respond to the influences coming to it from the physical sun, because in a way the physical sun is very active with respect to the entire solar system. And where is that solar system found? On the cosmic ethers and the cosmic dense physical body of the solar logos. So certainly the personality which exists within the dense physical body of the solar logos will respond to the physical sun. But the motivated life activity and the subjective experience of the inner man will be conditioned by energies coming to him from the heart of the sun, i.e. from the higher cosmic mental plane. And one wonders, you know, let's just say the Buddha, that's Buddhic, the Buddha had a cosmic mental touch, as we are told, a touching of the cosmic mental plane. Did he touch the solar angelic realm of that greater solar angel, which is the solar angel for the solar logos? Did he touch the higher cosmic mental plane? This is not given, but he did touch the cosmic mental plane at some point. That is the heart of the sun. There's also something called occasionally the subjective sun. It has something to do with the astral nature, the astral body on the cosmic mental plane, cosmic astral plane, excuse me, the cosmic astral plane of our solar logos, sometimes called the subjective sun, though sometimes the term subjective sun does refer to the heart of the sun. We have to follow DK's terminology very carefully, because, you know, it changes around and you have to study the context to see what he's really talking about. Okay. So, the subjective experience of the inner man, and that doesn't mean just the psychological experience, because that's personal. We're talking about that which occurs And our higher mental plane, our systemic higher mental plane and beyond, the subjective experience of the inner man will be conditioned by energies coming to him from the heart of the sun, which will affect his soul nature. I would here recall to your minds the teaching of the ageless wisdom as given in The Secret Doctrine, a wonderful book which should be used for more than opening doors. You know, opening doors. Keeping them open. Heavy books are good for keeping doors open. Well, anyway, The Secret Doctrine should be read and not just allowed to sit on a shelf. One day it could fall off and hit us on the head. Well, that might not be a bad thing. I would here recall to your minds the teaching of the ageless wisdom as given in The Secret Doctrine and elaborated by me in my later books, that the sun has to be discovered and known in its triple nature, which is threefold, as is the Trinity. So this is the triple sun of astrology, that term kind of emphasized by a number of astrologers, including Stephen Pugh, as I said, a very insightful and pioneering astrologer. The triple sun, meaning the personality nature, represented by the position of the sun in your horoscope, the soul nature represented or indicated at least by the ascendant in your horoscope, and the monadic sun, which is related to the point opposite the sun sign in your horoscope. That whole relationship between your sun sign and the opposite point is like an antikorana, with the sun, the actual sun in the sky, being at the bottom of the antikorana within the personality, and the highest point or the monadic point indicated by the point opposite the sun. But in a way, your personality, your soul, your monad, they are all suns. And that's another way to look at the triple sun in your horoscope. The triple sun. And we have to devise a triangular relationship between all of them. A lot can be learned for the advanced individual when he looks at the relationship between his sun sign, his ascendant, and the point opposite the sun. That will, in most cases, produce a kind of triangle. And even if two of the factors are the same, even if three of the factors are the same, say you're born with sun and, well, three of the factors can't be the same because there's always going to be a point opposite your sun sign, but two of the factors can be the same. For instance, your rising sign can be the same as the point opposite the sun sign, but we will just create a triangle by interpreting these points at different levels of expression and in relation to different dimensions. Okay, so work with that particular triangle, and that is the Trinity in every individual horoscope, and it is foundational, it is fundamental. It is the thing which we should always have in mind. You know, there are many, many details in astrology. They are quite amazing, quite interesting. You can get lost in them, but we should use astrology as a firm spiritual guide to tell us how to integrate and master our personality, how to express our soul in a particular incarnation, and if we are sufficiently advanced, how to bring the spirit into expression in a particular incarnation via a particular sign and planet and house position. We can know our soul ray ruler, say if your second ray soul is Jupiter, let us say, but do we know our monadic ray ruler? That is the question. So, you know, most of us are third or second ray monads. Maybe there are a few first ray monads. So basically either Jupiter or Saturn is the monadic ray ruler. And for most people in these groups, oh, that gets complicated. I don't want to get into that too much because it seems that we have two monadic rays. The first sublevel can be any one of the seven monadic rays, and the final monadic ray has to be one, two, or three. It seems to be the case. But we will know more about that as time unfolds. The tabulation below may serve to make this idea somewhat clear. So the physical sun is related to the mutable cross, and it influences the mutable cross. The sun sign indicating the personality indicates the mutable cross. Maybe I can make, if I just make these a little smaller, there's a possibility that it may look more like a tabulation in the last analysis. Yes, it kind of does. So the physical sun represents the form, and the personality, and it influences the mutable cross. So for so many years, many, many years, you have to study your sun sign above all to find out who you are, because the rising sign will only give physical and personal indications. Now, let's be astute about this. The rising sign is effective, even in the non-spiritual person, and it does have a definite connection with your physical body and with your health and with your personality. There's many people studying astrology who think that the sun sign is the real thing and the rising sign is just a mask. That was one of the ideas of which I had to disabuse myself when I first started studying astrology. It's not really true. But it is very physical in a certain respect, and very personal. So even the spiritual points can be interpreted in a personal way, and even the sacred planets have personal and non-sacred meanings, because the energy will be adapted to the kind of form through which you are expressing. The heart of the sun represents soul consciousness, and it influences the fixed cross. The soul influences the fixed cross, and the heart of the sun energy pouring through the ego on the higher mental plane will influence the soul in incarnation and make it stronger and stronger and help it disidentify from the circumstantial entanglements in the lower three worlds. As far as the central spiritual sun goes, it is representing the life or being or will. And the central spiritual sun is your monad, really. Well, actually, that's your microcosmic central spiritual sun. The macrocosmic central spiritual sun, in relation to our solar system, is the monadic nature of our solar logos. And it is found to be influencing upon the cardinal cross when we have jettisoned so many of the different stages of involvement and find ourselves at the sixth initiation as a liberated monad. That's a ways ahead for all of us, I'm sure. So this is the triple sun. And right now, most of us are trying to establish ourselves in causal consciousness, in soul consciousness, unitive consciousness, a consciousness which is not selfish, but has the element of love expressed through one of seven rays, and is working in response to the divine plan and attempting to intuit somewhat of the divine purpose. All right. Yes, we are at that point. Okay. So this is the end of... Oh, are we going to go through this with the... Okay, looks like we're going to go through this again. Yes, the disappearing screen. It seems to be saying, oh, the computer is too clogged, and please start me again and clean me out. I've cleaned it out, but it seems to want to pull a blank on me here, which is, unfortunate, because it takes up a little bit of time. But then what is time anyway? They say time is of the essence. Time is. Creation is. Time then and form agree. Being and time do not agree. So creation descends to manifest. Being descends to manifest. Creation is. Time then and form agree. Being and time do not agree. We have to master time. It seems to be much more difficult than to master space. I think the mastery of space is kind of a first project. Interestingly, though, space is more connected with second-ray Jupiter and time with third-ray Saturn, but also with first-ray Saturn from a certain perspective. Well, obviously, I'm stalling for time here while my computer runs through its antics. Philosophical on the spur of the moment. So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 51. And how far have we gotten? We started on page 110 or so. And, oh, goodness, we've made it to page 111. That's because I conducted a little bit of a review there. 110, which was reviewed, to 111. And we're quite close, I think, to 112. Going at the rate of approximately 2 pages per webinar. Yes, we're almost there at 112. Okay, good. So let us do the great invocation together. And from the point of light within. Right. Let us do that. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men, may Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Excuse me, that was a strong one, sorry. All right, that's it, friends. We will resume with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 52. We're almost finished with the sign Aries, but there is it's a long chapter because he's setting us up for the study of the other chapters. All right, so farewell for now, and we'll see you soon.